You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Well, good morning, my friends. It's so good to gather around with you and come around the Word this morning. And you know, what a privilege it is to meet together as a church and as we worship and praise and spend time around communion. The local church is powerful, my friend, and you are part of the local church. So thank you for being a part of the local church. Well, last week we had Declaration Sunday, and Pastor Lee brought a powerful word around Declaration Sunday that we are going to be disciples, that this year we're going to learn how to be disciples. And, you know, he mentioned something that he said, like, but sometimes discipleship can be like this cloud in the sky, ambiguous. What does it actually mean? So today, my heart, our heart, is to speak about what is a disciple? And what discipleship is. That when you leave here, you're like, do you know what? I have a better understanding of what it is to be a disciple of Jesus and what discipleship is. Our declaration scripture for this year, 1 John 2:6. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. So as we embark on this journey of learning about discipleship, would you join me in prayer? Lord God, I just thank you that you are so committed to refining us. Jesus, I thank you that we can learn your ways and learn to follow your ways. And Holy Spirit, as I speak, would you speak to each and every person individually? You are the great teacher. You are the great guide. You are the counselor. You are the advocate. And that you would minister to each of our hearts, that you would speak to each of us as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. So, a couple of weeks ago, I went to the beach with a few friends, and one of them was our lovely Fiona Schneider Johnson. And while we were in the water, she kind of looks over at her watch and says, oh, it's only 8 p.m. Meanwhile, in my mind, I'm like, oh, it's already 8 p.m. So, bit of a survey of the room. Who is a bit like me when you look at your watch and it's like 9 o'clock and you're going, it's already 9 o'clock, you know, time to get ready for bed? Anyone like that? Yeah, same. Kyla, I know you're one of those people. We've had this conversation about what is a sociably acceptable time for an adult to go to bed. And I think 8 o'clock's acceptable, but I might differ to some other people. How many of you are in the other category where you're like, oh, it's only 9 o'clock, the night is young, there's much to get done? Yeah, I see a few of those hands. And how many are somewhere in between? You know, we often think morning people, night people, but you're like, I'm a middle of the day, that's my most productive. I don't know what 2 o'clock slump, what is that? No such thing. Anyone like that? No, few and far between. Oh, there we go. Katrina's one of those. There you go. So good. You know, and you might go, what does this have to do with anything with discipleship? Well, promise there's a link. See, what I was thinking about when I thought all this is how God has created each of us individually. We each have our own unique intricacies. Each of our discipleship journeys will be unique. He created you in His image, each and every one of us. Phil, you're created in the image of God. Monica, you're created in the image of God. Mira, you're created in the image of God. But each of us have our own unique gifts and abilities. Our journey of discipleship will look different, but you are included in this journey of discipleship. Each and every one of us is included in this journey of discipleship. Ephesians 2:10 says this, we are God's masterpiece. You and I are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. So can I encourage you as we embark on this journey of learning about discipleship, make it personal for you. What is God speaking to you about what a disciple is? What is God speaking to you about discipleship? And our heart is that you go away from here going, I understand discipleship better. I want to activate this. So today we will look at, like the title says, what is a disciple and what is discipleship? I'll also briefly look at how to outwork discipleship and why discipleship is important. Now, when I say that out loud, it seems like a lot. And we all know what my tendency is when there's a lot of content to go fast. So my friend Sally Oy has already said to me she's ready with her wiggles fingers. So like Tim said, if I'm going too fast, do your little wiggles fingers and that'll be a little reminder for me to slow down. So let's start with, what is a disciple? Makes sense to look at the dictionary first and see what the dictionary says. The dictionary says a person who believes in the ideas and principles of someone famous and tries to live the way that person did, does or did. I like how it says, try to live the way that person did. You know, it echoes our declaration, 1 John 2:6. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. But you know, our journey to discipleship, being a disciple, is not just trying to live the way the person did. The difference is we're not trying to live like the dictionary says. The difference is we have the power of the Holy Spirit within us, allowing us to live the way that Jesus did, allowing us to activate his ways. It's not something that occurs externally that we try to do. It's the Holy Spirit doing an internal work in our lives, transforming our spirits, renewing our minds, renewing our thoughts so we can behave and change our actions in the way that are more like Jesus. See, what is a disciple? Who is a disciple? The Hebrew word for disciple is Talmid or Matheteus, which means a scholar or a pupil or a student. In biblical times, it was customary, it was common for a rabbi or a teacher to have students or pupils, one who was learning from them. I suppose in modern day times, it could be an apprentice or an intern for a company. So just like the disciples were interns, today a disciple is someone who is interning or apprenticing, learning the ways of Jesus. As we look across the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's multiple accounts of Jesus calling the first disciples. Who were these first disciples? Friends, they were like you and I. They were everyday people. They were fishermen. They were tax collectors. They're from all walks of life. Jesus asked these men to constantly be near him, to be in proximity with him, like Pastor Lee spoke about last week, and to learn from him. They became apprentices of the master teacher, the best teacher ever. They became the apprentices of Jesus. They were in close proximity with Jesus, which gave them the opportunity to know his heart, his character, and his source of power. But what does that mean for us today? Because they had the beautiful luxury of having Jesus on earth with them then. Jesus is not physically on earth with us here, but he calls us to be close to him. He calls us to learn from him. He calls us to discover his ways and to activate them in our lives and grow in following them. That is what a disciple is. That is who is a disciple. One who is learning to activate, learning to walk in and follow Jesus' ways. One who is an apprentice, an intern, a student of Jesus' ways. But can I encourage you? This is not for a select few. It's for all of us. You know, might go like, oh, maybe that's for the pastors or those who've got a special calling in your life, those in leadership, those in ministry. But discipleship is for each and every one of us. You and I are called to be disciples. You know, the disciples didn't have it all together. 3 years as apprentices, and they still stuffed things up, right? They still got things wrong. But they were worthy of becoming the leaders of the early church. Jesus still called them to lead, to heal, to see breakthrough. And it's the same for us. You don't have to have it all together. But there is a choice that comes, yes, I'm going to be a disciple of Jesus. I want to be his apprentice. I want to be his intern. I want to learn to follow his ways. That is what a disciple is. So then what is discipleship? You know, to understand discipleship, I think a good place to start is to look how Jesus modeled with the disciples. That's the sort of ideal example. And as I said before, all four Gospels have an account of Jesus calling his first disciples. For the interest of time, we're not going to go through all of them. But Matthew 4, 18 to 22, if you're taking notes. Mark 1, 16 to 20. Luke 5, 1 to 11. And John 1, 35 to 44. In preparation for this message, I read and studied these accounts, all these accounts of Jesus calling his disciples. And it's pretty powerful because they all have similarities, but there are distinct differences between them. And you know, this has led Bible scholars to conclude that these encounters were separate ones. So they don't all tell the same account of Jesus encountering his first disciples. They're different encounters, which is helpful because I think sometimes discipleship can be difficult to describe in a moment. Or one thing, or one definition, or one term. You notice I didn't look up a discipleship definition. See, these different accounts of Jesus encountering his first disciples demonstrate the layers of discipleship, the aspects of discipleship, of following Jesus and his ways. So what is discipleship? Well, the foundation layer, the base layer, if you've ever been to the snow like that or somewhere cold, the first layer is like, you know, your merino wool, the most important layer that you put on closest to your skin. Or if you have built a house, the foundation, the concrete slab, the foundation that goes under it, that's the most important layer. The first layer, the foundational layer of discipleship is salvation. Salvation, the saving knowledge of Jesus, going from eternal separation from God to eternal restoration of relationship with God. We see this in John chapter 1. the calling of the first disciples is from verse 35 to 44, but we're just going to read a small snippet of it. In verse 36 and 37, the following day, John, this is John the Baptist, was again standing with two of his disciples. As Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." When John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. We fast forward a bit to verse 40. Andrew, Peter's brother, was one of the men who heard what John had said, and then followed Jesus. Andrew went to find his brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah." The Messiah, the promised Savior, the anointed one, the one who has promised to bring salvation, which means Christ. Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. If we continue down the account, Simon then decides to follow Jesus. My friends, the first invitation is one of salvation. An invitation to be in close proximity to God. An invitation to go from eternal separation to close proximity to God. Because that is what you and I were created to do. Genesis 3 verse 8 says, "When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife, Adam and Eve, heard the Lord walking about in the garden." God walked in the garden. God came into close proximity. Adam and Eve's sin and our wrongdoing created that separation, but Jesus came. Jesus died on the cross so that you and I could be restored to right relationships, so that you and I could once again be in close proximity with God. Salvation is the best place to start. And you know, if you haven't had that opportunity for this foundation layer, this base layer of following Jesus, of being a disciple, then at the end of the service, there'll be an opportunity for you to do so. But can I encourage you, for you and I who have been Christians for some time, whether it's a month, whether it's years, whether it's decades, there is more to our journey of discipleship than just salvation. Salvation is the starting point, but there's so much more. The next layer is learning to follow in Jesus' ways. That's what we're committed to be disciples, to learn to follow in Jesus' ways. In Matthew 4, verses 18 to 22, we'll read from 18 to 20. "One day as Jesus was walking along the shore of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fish for a living. Jesus called out to them and said, 'Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people.' And they left their nets at once and followed him." Jesus called them to follow him. He would show them his ways. He would teach them what they needed to know to fish for people, to bring others to Jesus. This is similar to Jesus' calling of Matthew in Mark 2:14. He says, "Follow me and be my disciple. Learn my ways." Pastor Lee spoke on this last week. When you follow someone, you're in close proximity to them. You learn about them. But, you know, my little sister lives in America now. She's studying there. And something we're noticing more and more is the more she spends time with the American, the more she's got an American accent. She sounds like them. You know, when you're in close proximity with someone, the way you speak starts to sound like that person. Or let me give you a different picture of what it is to be in proximity. Has anyone been near like an open fire, bonfire, or a fire in winter? Phil, say that again, will you? Correct. You start to smell a smoke. What happens? You don't wear your best jumper. You don't wash your hair beforehand because lo and behold, when you get home, your clothes smell of smoke. Your hair smells of smoke. Like it almost feels like the smoke is oozing out of your pores as well. Like your skin smells of smoke until you have a shower. But, you know, I was thinking about that, how that is in being close proximity with Jesus. That, you know, that we're in close proximity to Jesus, that his concentrated greatness starts to ooze out of us. See, the process of that smoke smell is diffusion, where things travel from a higher concentration to a lower concentration. Bit of science for you there. But what if we're in close proximity with Jesus and his concentrated greatness starts to permeate into all that we do, starts to permeate into the way we speak, into the way we act, into the way we behave with our family, with our friends? What if his greatness starts to absorb into us and then permeates out of us into all that we do? And like Phil said before, we start to smell like it. So, you know, if you don't have a shower and you go to the shops or you go and visit some friends, more likely than not, they're going to smell the smoke on your clothes. So what smell is it that we give off to people when we see them? You know, when people see us, do they smell Jesus on us? In our workplaces, in our schools, with our friends, with our family, at the footy, at your local supermarket. 1 John 2:6, those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Pastor Lee made this powerful statement as part of his declaration at Sunday. Our likeness, the way we carry ourselves, the way the world sees us, should reflect Jesus more and more. And that is my heart. that the way the world sees, and I know that's your heart, that the way the world sees it, they're like, there's something inviting about that. There's something attractive about that. See, this layer of discipleship is that as you and I stay closer to Jesus, what is discipleship? As you and I stay closer to Jesus, the things we say, the things we do, the way we behave should reflect how Jesus loved and treated people. And let me encourage you, this is something we're already doing well in some areas. You know, I think of Ben and Shola. Ben and Shola are both healthcare professionals, and I work in as a pharmacist, and when both of them, we both have mutual patients, I suppose I should say it that way. And when people come in, like, they say to me, if they know that I know Ben, they're like, oh, wow, he's such a good GP. He's so caring. He's so thorough. He's so good at what he does. And with Shola being a pharmacist, oh, and his wife Shola, she's so lovely. She's so caring and kind. You know, that's treating people and loving people how Jesus did. I think of Diane, who she lives in a retirement village, and the people notice something different about her. You know, they know the way she lives. She doesn't like swearing, and she doesn't swear herself. So they mind their words around her, and they know there's something different about her. And that's living the way that Jesus did, being a point of difference that doesn't push people away, but it causes them to change their actions. It causes them to change the way they live as well. You know, I think of us overall as a church. Through our different events, our carols, our Sunday services, our community pantry, honestly, I've had multiple people say to me who are not from our church community say, what a genuine, friendly, caring bunch of people we are. That is reflecting Jesus' ways more and more. That is discipleship, living out the way Jesus did, loving and caring for people the way Jesus did. So let me encourage you, we're already on that journey of discipleship. But that's not the end of it. There's many layers of discipleship. So what's another layer? Giving up your own way in following Jesus. Now, I want you to note here, I said another layer. This is not like a trifle where one layer has to occur at a time and each layer has to set before you can do the next. Giving up your own way in following Jesus is another layer. These don't have to occur in succession. They can occur simultaneously. They are an ongoing journey. We see this in Luke's account of calling his first disciples, which, as I said before, is from Luke 5, 1 to 11. Jesus gives Simon Peter the instructions to fish in deeper waters. They follow this instruction even though they fished all night and caught nothing. They see this supernatural influx of fish and are amazed and terrified. We see Jesus' response in Luke chapter 5, starting from verse 10. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. See, another layer of discipleship is giving up our own way in following Jesus. And you know, you might hear that or read that and go, they left everything and followed Jesus. Does this mean I've got to change my career and give up everything that I enjoy? Can I encourage you? That's not it at all. It's not about changing your career or giving up the things that you love or that bring you joy. Not everyone is called to leave their vocation, their work, their responsibility as carers or parents, being a student. In fact, many of us, the vocation that we have is the will and purpose of God, that you can be a disciple wherever God has called you. See, discipleship is not measured by the vocation you're in. You know, people in ministry or people who are leading in church are not the only form of disciples. Whatever God has entrusted you for this season, wherever God has placed you in this people, you, as a disciple, you can be a follower of him. You can learn to lay down your own ways to follow him. See, this laying down of our own ways is about leaving our old ways of thinking, our habits, our practices, the thoughts we might have, and exchanging them for Jesus' ways. Allowing God to refine your character, to change your mindset to be more like him. Laying down of your own plans and will and yielding to his plans and will. Jesus described this perfectly in Matthew 16, 24. If any of you wants to be my disciple, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. Three points or three aspects to it. Give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. In the Amplified Version, it expands a little bit more. It says, giving up your own way, setting aside self or selfish interests. Take up your cross, laying down things that God asks you to, whether it's habits, behaviors, practices, and being willing to walk with God, whatever may come. And follow me, follow his example of living. See, this layer of discipleship, this aspect of discipleship is not just about adding Jesus to your life. Because this is what I often thought, you know, I'm saved. Oh, here we go. Jesus is in my life. He's going to bless me. He's going to give me peace. He's going to give me joy. And he does all those things. Like, that's a given. We can proclaim that over our lives. But discipleship is not just adding Jesus to your life. It's laying down, discipleship is laying down your own ways to follow Jesus's ways. Discipleship is not just adding Jesus to your life. Discipleship is laying down your ways to follow his ways. And you know, it may sound a little bit heavy, like, am I have to give up everything I do? It can sound a little bit hard. It can sound challenging. Can I encourage you? Yes, there's action required from us. Yes, there's things we have to do. But God created you and I. He knows what's best for us. He knows your purpose. When an inventor invents something, they've got a purpose in mind. When God created you and I, he had a plan in mind. He has good plans for us. Romans 8:28, he will work all things out for good for those who love him and been called according to his purpose. His intended best for us will always trump anything we can come up for ourselves. And you know what? I'm living, breathing proof of this. I'm living, breathing proof on the journey of discipleship, but more on that later. He knows your heart. He knows your dreams. He knows your desires. Psalm 37, 4-5. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall also give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. We can delight ourselves in him. He knows our desires. We can commit our ways to him, laying down our own and commit our ways to him, and he shall bring it to pass. So what is discipleship? Salvation. Following Jesus' ways, laying down our own ways and learning to follow his. And you know what? I'll be the first to admit, this doesn't happen overnight. Like Pastor Rachel's in the communion, we're all a work in progress. I'm still a work in progress. However, this year as we commit to being disciples, can I encourage you? My prayer is that you pursue it. That you pursue it actively, that you pursue, God, I want to learn your ways. I want to learn to lay down my own ways to follow your ways. But you know, we've talked about what is a disciple and what discipleship is, but how do we actually outwork it? What does this actually look like? Over the next few months, we will be teaching from the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John about Jesus' ways and how we outwork discipleship. But I think it would be amiss of me to not mention some of those tangible ways so you get a bit of a sneak peek of what discipleship might look like, how we outwork it. So this is by no means an exhaustive list, but let me give you a few examples. A supporting scripture will come up on the screen, but I'm not going to read it out, but you can take notes along if you'd like to. When Jesus lived on this earth, his disciples traveled with him. They stayed in close proximity. Has anyone here traveled with someone? Yep. You know, you learn about a person when you travel with them, right? Because you're out of your comfort zone. You know, you're out of the ordinary. You're sleeping in different beds. You know, you might not have the pressure in the shower that you would like. Like all these things that are real when you travel. But the disciples travel with Jesus. They learnt his heart. They learnt his ways. They learnt to see the demonstration of his power. For you and I today, discipleship could look like staying in close proximity with God. Consistently being in the Word, whether that's through hearing Bible-based teaching at work, your own personal devotion time, reading a Bible plan, connect groups. Could look like prayer, whether your own personal prayer time or corporate prayer times at our prayer meetings before the service or on Fridays. That's what discipleship outworking could look like. Secondly, when Jesus lived on the earth, his disciples had their identity continued to be formed by Jesus. You know, Simon's name or Simon Peter's name or Peter as we call him now, his name was Simon, which means hear or listener. But Jesus said to him, your name will now be Cephas or Peter, meaning a rock. And he became one of the early rocks of the church. You know, Jesus transformed identity. What does this mean for us today? Discipleship looks like allowing God to transform the way you see yourself. To strip away maybe pride, insecurities, labels or things you've carried, things spoken over you like Pastor Rachel spoke about, things that we carry in our thoughts and replacing it with his truth. How else could discipleship outwork today? See, when Jesus lived on the earth, the disciples learned to exercise their gifts and abilities. I think about the feeding of the multitudes and, you know, how the disciples went to Jesus and they were like, oh, you know, these people have been here all day. They're hungry. They need to go and get some food. And what does Jesus say? You feed them. Now, has anyone organized an event of any sort with people? The logistics of coordinating 5,000 people's meal would be like something that is not normal at all. They were pushed to the limits of exercising their gifts and abilities. But Jesus was there as their source of power and strength each step of the way. For you and I, how do we be disciples today? there's an opportunity to gather together, to serve, to exercise our gifts and abilities, to offer your gifts that God has given you to your local church, to your community, wherever God has placed you. And finally, how do we outwork discipleship? Jesus challenged and encouraged his disciples continuously. I think of the account where they were in the storm and Jesus was soundly sleeping. And they were like, Jesus, Jesus, we're going to die. Come and save us. And Jesus comes out and calms the storm. And then he says, why are you afraid? You have so little faith. You know, for you and I today, discipleship could look like having a submissive heart that allows God to correct, to refine us. Being open to healthy accountability. Pastor Lee said this last week, doesn't everybody love accountability? Someone being accountable to them? From multiple people who are evidently further along the journey of following Jesus' ways. Practically, this could be like a pastoral catch-up, speaking to your Connect group facilitator. Gathering and sharing stories, sharing testimonies with other followers of Jesus who are on the journey. Discipleship outworked has so many different steps. Again, like I said, this is not an exhaustive list. And you know, you might hear this and be like, oh, do you know what? I already do a lot of those things. Hey, well done. I know you do. I know a lot of you do. That's great. Can I encourage you keep on at it? But can I also encourage you to keep pursuing more of Jesus' ways and laying down of our own? We are disciples for life. We are Jesus' apprentices. We are Jesus' interns for life. Luke 6:40 says this, the student is not above their teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. See, we're not above Jesus, but as we continue to be trained, we become more and more like Jesus. As we continue to learn to follow his ways and lay down our own ways, we become more in Jesus, more like Jesus. And my friends, wherever you find yourself on this journey of discipleship, it requires something of you. It requires action. See, Jesus talks about there being a cost of discipleship. He says that multiple times in the Gospels. And there are things you might have to change about how you think, about how you speak, about how you live. There may be old practices you need to give up and new practices you need to activate. It may go against what current culture encourages or what people around you say to do or think. But can I encourage you, there is so much to be gained. There is so much to be gained. Pastor Rachel spoke about in the communion that we're not barely free, we are abundantly free. There is a greater reward for discipleship, greater levels of freedom, solid identity in God, an unshakable foundation of trust and peace in exceptional circumstances, in all circumstances. And so as I wrap up, I think it would be good to say why discipleship, right? Like, because we say, what is a disciple? What is discipleship? How do we outwork it? But why? Why is it important? Isn't my salvation all I need? I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Woohoo, sweet. But there is so much more for you, my friend. God has so much more for you. John 8:31 to 32 says this. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Not barely free, abundantly free. Now, when you look at that scripture in the order, it says, true disciples, the order is you remain faithful to my teaching. Then you know the truth. And then the truth will set you free. See, following Jesus' teachings reveals truth. And that's what brings freedom. His truth, his ways bring freedom to your life. You know, it's not about control or this overarching person telling you what you do. The inventor who created you, he knows what's best for you. His ways, his thoughts, his will bring you the greatest freedom. Why? Because that's how he's created you to live. So I ask you, my friend, what area do you need freedom in your life? Maybe that's the area you need discipleship in, learning his ways and laying down your own. And as I said earlier, I stand here today as living, breathing proof of the benefits of discipleship. You know, nearly 10 years ago, my life looked very different to what it does today. I was a Christian, you know, I was here at church. I've been a part of a gateway for a long time. I was attending church. I was even serving. But you know, I had this idea of Jesus was an addition to my life, that I just walked my life with Jesus as part of my life. And I wasn't really actively pursuing or activating his ways. And on the outside, I had a good life. I was working as a pharmacist. I went traveling with friends. I had a great group of friends. I was playing sport. You know, all these things that are great things, like they're not bad things. But there was something missing. Like I lacked joy and fulfillment. I lacked the freedom and abundance that God speaks about in his promises. And you know, hurt from a broken relationship resulted in me spiraling quite negatively. I started to develop unhealthy habits around exercise and diet, being obsessive and excessive about them. I started to pull away from good, healthy relationships within church because I was just hurt inside. And all that sort of accumulated in me feeling burnt out at work. And I was like, right, I'm going to quit my job and go and volunteer overseas because that fixes everything, right? You go and volunteer overseas, you feel good about yourself and you feel better. Well, it didn't quite happen that way, but little did I know what God would do powerfully as I did that. See, for those who don't know, I took a year off and I did a discipleship training school with Youth with a Mission. I mean, it's in the title, right? A discipleship training school. So I spent months literally learning to follow Jesus' ways, learning his ways, learning how he lived, how he served, learning to activate them, but also learning to lay down my own ways, learning to lay down my own will, my plans for his. And you know, this was a crucial step in my formation as a follower of Jesus. This was what led to so much freedom in my life. Freedom from this idea that I had to meet expectations or a fear of failure because of the society that I grew up in that valued achievement. Freedom from hurt and brokenness, an ability to seek healing and mending of that broken relationship that triggered the whole thing in the first place. Freedom to seek out God and walk in his will. And you know, my friends, I walk in that joy and freedom today. I continue to walk in that joy and freedom today. And I continue to pursue that joy and freedom today because there's greater levels of discipleship that I want to grow in. There's greater levels of freedom that I want to walk in. I've seen God's perfect will orchestrated time and time again in my life. And you know, my posture as a discipleship is these open hands to God, not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. Not my ways, but your ways. Am I perfect? Nah, far from it. Is my life perfect? No, far from it. There are daily, weekly, monthly, yearly mountains to climb. Life is far from perfect. But you know, I think about it and I go, I'm still a pharmacist. You know, I haven't completely changed my vocation. Yes, I work at the church one day a week. Yes, I serve in ministry. I'm still a pharmacist. I still love health and fitness, and I'm involved in that. But you know, as I laid those things down to God, he gave it back to me in a different way. He gave it back to me with his freedom, with his joy, with his restoration. And my friends, this is not something that's unique for me. This is for all of us. Jesus calls each and every one of us to be his disciple. It's not for a select few that you are called to be his disciple. Amy, you are called to be his disciple. Monica, you are called to be a disciple. Katrina, you are called to be his disciple, to learn his ways, follow in his ways, and lay down your own. Galatians 2:20, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That sums up discipleship. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live it, but Christ who lives in me. His ways, his thoughts, his plans. So I ask you again, my friend, what area do you need freedom for? Maybe that's the very area that you need discipleship in your life. And so today you've heard me teach about what is a disciple, what discipleship is. And this teaching is a foundation for you becoming a disciple. Because as we teach over being a disciple over the next few months, you know, you can come along and hear these great messages, or you can choose to start and continue to follow on this journey of discipleship. So the invitation for you this morning is to say, yes, God, I want to follow on this discipleship journey. I want to learn your ways, or I want to continue to grow in learning your ways, continue to activate them. I want to learn to give up my own way, to follow your lead. What is the one thing that you're holding on so tightly? You're like, I'll give you all this, God, but not that. What is God calling you to give up your own way to follow his lead? You know, maybe you're already on that journey. Can I say the invitation is you to keep layering on. There's layers of discipleship. We're always going to be apprentices of Jesus. Keep allowing your spiritual formation to grow to be more Christ-like. So can I ask everyone to stand if you're able to? And I'm going to pray for you. And then Pastor Lee will come. And if you want to say yes to this continuing this journey of discipleship, the posture of surrender, the posture of saying, not my will, but your will be done. Can you raise your hands to God? Say, I want to continue on this, or I want to start on this. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And Holy Spirit, you are here in this place. And with our hands lifted high to you, we say yes. We say yes to you, Jesus, that we want to follow in your lead. We want to go on this journey of discipleship. We want you to transform the way we think. We want to learn your ways and follow in them. We want to learn to lay down what we need to lay down and pick up what you have for us. So we commit to this journey of discipleship. We commit to this journey of following you. We thank you that you are so committed to our growth, to our development, to refining us to be more like you. And I just declare your power, your strength, your ability. Holy Spirit, your guidance, your teaching over each and every person, that even in the weeks to come, through the teaching in the coming weeks, even this week, that you would speak to each and every heart as only you can. Bring up the things that need to be brought up. Tear down the things that need to be torn away. Your name is above every name, Jesus, and we exalt you and we thank you for what you are going to do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Why don't you take your seats this morning? What an exciting season that we're headed into. You know, it's exciting to be on the journey being disciples of Jesus. You know, just as Renu was talking about, you know, following Jesus and his ways, and I think so often in our culture we're just so focused on the destination. So what's the final destination? How do I get that? How do I get that quicker? So there is, it's on the journey that the great things happen. And we reach that destination, it's just like, awesome, that season was amazing. And then we embark on the next one. But being in it, being present. If you're wondering what the call to action is this morning, what we just prayed then, what's the call to action? To be disciples. This is our season, learning to be disciples. You know, if you don't know Jesus personally this morning, if you're watching online or you're in the room today, it would be remiss of me not to give the opportunity to have that first foundational layer taken care of, to be known by God, to be loved by God, and choose to be someone who follows him. And so in a moment, we're going to pray a prayer. It's a prayer of salvation, acknowledging that Jesus is Lord, believing that God raised him from the dead on the third day, confessing it with our mouths. That's what we're going to do in a prayer. And if that's you, maybe you've done it before, maybe you've never done it, maybe you've been off on your own journey doing your own thing, but you know you need to come back into relationship with God for the first time or again. This is your moment. Why don't we bow our heads for a moment? The whole church is going to join us in praying this, but if this is for you, can I encourage you just to pray this prayer out to him this morning? It doesn't matter whether it's quiet or loud. It's about your heart responding to him. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you that you sent Jesus, that he went to the cross, to the grave, and rose again on the third day for the forgiveness of my sins. I believe it in my heart, and I confess it with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and you raised him. From this day on, I surrender my life to you. Forgive me of my sin. I'm a follower of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
We pray that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.